I know you hate me. Tex's eyes hardened as he placed his hands on his hips and looked away. I could never hate you as much as I love you. That type of hate? That depth of hate? Doesn't exist, baby. Believe me. I search for it every night that you lay next to me, and I refuse to touch you. I crave it every minute of every day when I see your beautiful face. He swallowed. Go get the girls. You're wasting daylight. I don't want you out after dark. With that, he stomped off. And I fought the urge to run after him. To tell him I loved him too. To explain everything to him. But telling him the truth would solidify his death. So I kept my mouth shut and sent a text. Me. Talked with Nixon this morning. Marriage is a go. Looks real. Forged. We good? G. Good work, Mo. I knew I could count on you. Don't make me regret doing this your way. He has the protection of the Abandonado family. It's a start. Me. That's good, right? G. If it was bad, you'd know it by the bullet-sized hole in your husband's forehead. I'll text you when I need you. Shopping proved to be more fun than I imagined. First off, apparently Mill hadn't had any alone time since being married. Not that Chase minded, or Mill for that matter, but she was excited to have some freedom. It wasn't lost on me that we were walking around the downtown area of Chicago with a newly minted mafia boss on one side and the wife of one of the most powerful mafia families ever on the other. Which left me. Fake wife to the would-be capo. Awesome. If anyone was going to get shot, pretty sure it would be me first, them second. Then again, we took Vinny and Lou with us. Apparently, they'd gotten drunk on the job a few weeks back, so this was their way of repaying Nixon for not keeping a sharp eye. Vinny was our cousin and had a tendency to screw up. But he was a kick-ass shot and found great joy in all types of violence. So shopping? You might as well tell him you were replacing his penis with a flower. And Lou? Well, he was one of my favorite associates. He always dressed nice, smelled nice, but he had a real serious problem with playing nice. Let's just say it wasn't in his nature to be patient. He shot first, asked questions later. If he remembered to ask questions at all. So he was like a mini-me version of Tex. This is nice. Trace took a sip of coffee and threw on her sunglasses. I haven't gone shopping since Nixon bought me that Prada backpack. Ah. I nodded. The day of reckoning, also known as the day the college kids tried to rough up my brother's love interest. You make us sound like a movie. Trace rolled her eyes. Star-crossed lovers or something like that. Admit it, Mill piped up. After everything that's gone down in the last year, we'd be like prime time. Like Scandal. I nodded. Only better. Bite your tongue. Trace scolded and then laughed. She had a serious addiction to nighttime television. So, you guys want to stop anywhere else? I asked while we walked by Victoria's Secret. The guys were a few feet behind us. Trace looked up at the sign above the door. Let's go in here. You did just get married. By force. I held up my hand. So it's not like Tex is going to be touching me or anything. I said the last part in a grumbling tone because honestly, I would do anything, short of ending up in prison, for the guy to kiss me again. To kiss me like he wanted me. Mill and Trace shared a look before Mill pushed me towards the door. He's still a guy, Mo. Believe me, She tilted her head. All you need are a few temptations. Besides, what could it hurt? Oh, I don't know. I sang as they dragged me in. My pride, my heart, my unborn child, my... Mill held up her hand and rolled her eyes. I get it. Now stop being a baby and let us whore you up. Oh, goody. I clapped my hands together in fake excitement. That's just what I need to do. Look like one of Texas whores. Trace pinched me in the arm. Ouch! I rubbed the spot. What was that for? Trace glared. Mill answered for her. Your head's in your ass, but that's okay. If there's anything I'm good at, it's pulling heads out of asses and setting things to right again. Take Chase, for example. Chase? I repeated as we walked further into the store, past the pink section and into the lacy section that I had no business being in. And just how did you help him? Easy. Mill shrugged and gave us a sly smile. I offered my temple of a body, and now he's too exhausted to be a jackass. Problem solved. She laughed and then shrugged as if to say, what else can you do? Trace threw her head back and laughed, giving Mill a high five. I fought a smile and turned away from them. Vinny and Lou made their way into the store. Vinny shook his head in disgust, while Lou thumbed a nightgown with strings. It was meant to be sexy. He looked horrified. Clearly, complicated clothing messed with his head. This. Mill tapped me on the shoulder and shoved a few hangers of lingerie into my arms. Go try on. How did you even... Go! Mill stomped her foot. And when he can't keep his hands off of you, I expect a thank you, Mill. You fit in too well. Trace nodded. I'm glad you're keeping Chase and not giving up on him. Takes work. Mill winked and rubbed her hands together. But who am I to shy away from work? Just call it sex, I grumbled, stomping past them. No more code words. I slammed the door behind me and stared at my reflection in the mirror. Every moment I'd spent with Tex, it had always been simple. We slept together, we talked, we laughed. I'd never actually tried seducing him. If he said no, or if he made fun of me, or worse yet, was disgusted, I wasn't sure my already fragile heart could handle it. Hurry up! Mill banged on the door. Cursing, I tossed my purse onto the floor and fumbled with the first lacy thing I saw. It was black, completely see-through, and had a halter top that tied around the neck, leaving the entire back open. I wasn't a prude by any means, but I felt more naked in that dressing room than I'd ever felt in my entire life. How's it look? Trace called. Good? I said it like a question. You have a kick-ass body. Mill snorted. Of course it looks good. I quickly tried on the rest of the things. I knew if I didn't, I'd be forced to let the girls in just so they made sure I followed through. I only had intentions to buy one of the outfits. But Mill wasn't having it. The minute I came out of the dressing room, she pulled everything from my arms and pointed at one of the cushioned black chairs, then went to the cash register. I think... I huffed and blew a strand of hair from my face. I like Mill in small doses. Trace laughed and sat in the chair next to me. She's awesome, though. Right. She's also screwing Chase's brains out, and he didn't really have a ton to begin with. Should we worry? Nah. Trace shrugged and leaned back, closing her eyes for a moment. Her cheeks were flushed. She looked happy. Relaxed. We'll just buy him more protein bars and Gatorade. He'll power through. Mill joined us a few minutes later, wearing a sneaky grin on her face. What did you do? I groaned.
What?
She asked innocently.
I may have thrown a few products in with the clothes. But to be fair, they were on sale. And honestly, nothing would make me happier than you driving Tex to drink. Just think, bringing the capo to his knees.
He's not the capo, I said defensively. Then realized I'd jumped to his defense perhaps a bit too quickly. Yeah. Mill nodded, her eyes narrowing. He is. Trust me. I don't know what Nixon's been telling you guys, but my family's been chomping at the bit for the announcement, meaning only one thing. That little hit of 10 million? It's going to double if he doesn't make a choice. Why does he have to choose? I asked. I mean, we don't need a capo. And his family doesn't even like him. I seriously wanted to break something. I hated that he was getting pushed into that position. Tex was strong, but only as strong as he allowed himself to be. I was afraid for him. Afraid for us. Family is blood, Mill explained slowly. It won't matter if he suddenly converts to Judaism and refuses to step on spiders because he believes they have souls. The truth is, they need to know where he stands. And if he stands against them? I whispered. What then? Mill fell silent. Vinny and Lou opened the doors to the store. The wind gusted, hitting me square in the face. I took a deep breath and looked down the street. Shit. What? Mill paused, reaching into her purse. What is it? Trace reached behind her back and gave Vinny a thumbs down. Three men in suits climbed out of a black SUV as if in slow motion. They took their time sauntering towards us. A few people on the street stopped to gawk and then hurried into stores, slamming the doors behind them. A kid on a bike nearly collided with a telephone pole before hightailing it in the opposite direction. Mill stood in front of me. I tried to move her, but she wouldn't budge. In this little scenario, she was a bit more important, being a boss and all. But I knew not to argue with her. At least not now. The man in the middle was almost bald. He had a walking cane and a slight limp, and he looked pissed. I didn't recognize him. That was until he came within a few feet of us. He had stormy blue eyes, just like Texas. Not good. They wouldn't do anything out in the open, but that didn't mean I was feeling the urge to break out into song and dance.
Mrs. Campisi, is it?
The man offered a predatory grin that sent chills along my spine. I hated it when people smiled like that. Why smile when you want the world to know how pissed off it makes you? Sir, Vinny said smoothly, please step aside. We don't want any trouble. The girls are having a relaxing day shopping.
Relaxing?
The man repeated as the two men accompanying him, the ones who looked like Italian sumo wrestlers, snickered.
I haven't relaxed since the day I was born.
Maybe you should get a pedicure, I said through clenched teeth. Those work wonders for me when it's that time of the month. Or, Mill shrugged, I could always shoot you. Relieve some of that tension between your eyes. In fact, it would be my pleasure. Much quicker than Botox.
DeLong.
The guy snorted.
You disgust me.
Mill grinned. Good. I'd hate to attract you. God, you look older than sin. How's the leg? Skiing accident? The girl had a mouth on her. No wonder Chase was enamored.
You. He nodded to me.
You are Kambizi's wife.
Are you not? I'm carrying his child. I shrugged. What does that tell you?
I have a message for him.
So say it, I snapped. And tell your lapdogs to stop staring at my chest before I stab them in the throat. The two men shared a laugh while I let my knife slide down my leather jacket and held it up between my fingers. I wasn't kidding. They stopped laughing. The man held up his hand. It was covered with rings, manicured, hardly the type of hands of a grunt worker.
I want to meet with him. I'll tell him anything he wants to know about the family. No guns, no men. Just the two of us, having a nice little chat. Uncle to nephew.
Trace sucked in a breath next to me, while I narrowed my eyes harder. You must not value your life.
Why do you say that?
He could rip you to shreds with his bare hands.
Not,
the man sneered,
if I cut them off first.
What, with your teeth? Mill snorted. Is that all? We're kind of busy.
That's all.
He nodded to us and took a step back. In a flash, something sharp hit me in the thigh. I staggered back against Trace as blood started seeping through my jeans. The sharp pain turned into a burn that radiated through my leg. I could feel the wetness of blood start pouring down from whatever damage he'd caused. He looked at the wound and grinned.
Sorry, it slipped. Consider yourself warned.
Thanks, I answered, my breath coming in gasps. I threw my knife directly at his friend's right thigh. It impaled itself beautifully. Muttering a string of vulgar curses, the guy stumbled backwards. But Tex's uncle didn't flinch, simply stared me down, and then finally threw his head back and laughed.
Well done. Once I kill your husband, I may just take you for myself. I could use a little spunk.
Run along, old man, Mill spat. She may not shoot you, but I have a loaded gun, and I get really trigger happy when I'm not able to use it. He nodded, still smiling, and sauntered off. You okay? Trace gripped my arms while Vinny tried to lift me into his. I'm fine. My teeth began to chatter. Nothing like getting shot after going shopping for lingerie. Think God's trying to tell me something? Yeah. Mill reached for her cell. Have more sex, because you never know when you're gonna get shot. Where the hell did the gunshot come from anyway? Must have had a silencer. I heard nothing, saw nothing. Mill swore as she dialed a number. You calling Nixon? Trace asked, trying to steady me. No, I'm calling Chase. Mill placed the phone in her ear. I'll let him tell Nixon. Trace sighed. Good call. They were talking like one of us getting shot was a normal occurrence. Maybe for the guys, but for us? Not so much. In fact, I'd only ever been shot once. And the pain hadn't been this extreme. Not at all. The burning continued, radiating up my leg and into my hip. I clenched my teeth as their voices started getting more and more quiet. My ears felt fuzzy along with my body. The pain was still there, but it felt like it was spreading everywhere. And all I needed to do was close my eyes, and everything would be all right. Unable to hold out any longer, a hoarse whimper escaped through my lips.
She's losing a lot of blood.
Vinny clenched his teeth and tried to elevate my leg while keeping me in his arms. I clung to him tightly.
We need to get back to the house now.
Why so much blood?
A numbness took over, replacing the pain, making me thankful.
I'm not a doctor.
Vinny's voice shook.
Vin?
Trace asked. What aren't you telling us?
It's close to her femoral artery.
Why did they sound like they were talking underwater?
How close?
Trace asked. Her voice sounded hollow. Dark spots started invading my vision.
Oh, God!
Trace gasped. And then everything went black.
Chapter 16. Too much damn information, not enough action. Tex. I pinched the bridge of my nose while Nixon continued talking. Sergio and Chase were on the couch looking through a series of surveillance tapes around our local businesses, while I tried to fight the urge to punch Nixon in the face. Granted, he was just trying to fill us in, but did Sergio have to be present? His every heartbeat insulted the shit out of me, and I was itching to end it. So, Nixon popped his knuckles. Tex. My head snapped up. What? 10 million. And by the looks of it, you have your old family wanting to know whose side you're going to pick, whereas your new family... Us, Chase winked. I rolled my eyes. Nixon chuckled. Right. Your new family offers protection. So at this point, the ball's kind of in your court. Do you want to make a statement, or do you want to lay low for a while? When has laying low ever helped anyone? Sergio pointed out. As far as I'm concerned, laying low means he's hiding. Why the hell would a man hide? Why indeed, I repeated. Statement. I'll make a statement. I didn't fill them in on the actual statement I'd made the day before with my uncle, but that was fine. I could cause a fuss, get the attention away from the abandonados. I owed them that much at least. Nixon looked down at his phone. Hey, Trace, what's... His entire face paled. Chase made eye contact with me. And then I heard screaming on the other end while Nixon's damn hand shook with rage, his eyes narrowing more and more. I half expected a vein to pop in his forehead. Hurry. He hung up and shook his head slowly in my direction, his nostrils flaring with anger. It's Mo. What's Mo? I stood, my hands on hips, ready to take action, ready to kill any bastard who dared to lay a hand on her. She's been shot. Nixon cursed and threw his phone against the couch. Is it always like this? Sergio whistled. Shut the hell up before I shoot you in the face, I roared, charging towards Sergio. Whoa! Chase moved in front of Sergio just in time for me to pull out my gun and aim it at his chest. Shit! Chase muttered. Put it away, Tex. We've got bigger problems, apparently. She was shot in the leg, Nixon said, his hand firmly gripping my shoulder. Lots of blood. We need... I'm calling in a favor. I snapped and quickly dialed the delaying second in command. He'd once been a surgeon and wouldn't blink twice if I asked him to come in and perform emergency surgery. What? He barked into the phone. I need you. Nixon's house. Now. And if I don't come? Then I'll hunt you down and you'll really wish you would have. On my way. He snickered and ended the phone call. Nixon sighed. You sure you want the DeLangs involved? News flash, Nixon, I growled. The whole damn mafia was already involved the minute you protected me in Vegas, the minute Mo said she was pregnant. We have the strongest family in Italy posting on Craigslist for my damn head. Adding in the DeLangs does nothing, just invites more people to my funeral. You're not dying, Chase sighed. Right, I nodded. But I knew it was the opposite of true. I'd die. My death was as certain as my love for Mo. Might as well have been written across my forehead. My love for her would kill me. Because in the end, When I chose the Campisi family, it would be at her expense, and I'd asked Nixon to kill me for it. Only then could I keep her safe. Only then would my word be trusted. Nixon! Trace yelled, running into the house. In a blur, Vinny brought Mo in and laid her across the kitchen table. Shit! I raced to her side. Chase, get the morphine! Mo's eyes fluttered open and then rolled to the back of her head as she started convulsing. We're going to need blood. Sergio started cutting away her jeans with scissors. My mind whirled. Use mine. Use my blood. You have to be a match. With one final rip, Sergio pulled the jeans from her left leg. Blood spewed from the wound. We are, I roared. Chase! Chase tossed me the morphine. Needles, we need to draw blood. Grab an IV. We doing this here? Chase closed his eyes, muttering under his breath before running back into the storage room where we kept weapons and drugs, the good kind. My hands shook as I cradled Mo's pale face. Baby, can you hear me? She moaned. Nixon slammed his hand into the wall as more blood poured from her leg. Stop the bleeding, damn it! I'm trying! Sergio yelled right back, his hands covered in my wife's blood. Red, a color that used to comfort me, bring me peace, was finally bringing me death. No. I shook my head and kissed Mo's face. No, you gotta fight, baby, okay? You have to fight! There was so much blood, it was impossible to tell where the wound even was. Needles! Chase threw them at me. I caught them midair and grabbed the rubber band, tightening it with my mouth as I wrapped it around my bicep. The sting of the needle was nothing compared to the horror I witnessed in front of me. You better hope to God you have enough blood to give her before you pass out, too. Sergio didn't bother putting on gloves as he shot Mo with morphine directly into her thigh. God's never been on my side, I mumbled, as I watched the blood pull from my body into the needle. Well, you better hope he is now. Sergio moved his hands to Mo's chest. Because she's losing consciousness. She's lost too much blood. Mo! I yelled as Sergio leaned down and pressed his ear against her mouth. He cursed as he whispered something in her ear. She moaned and shook her head. Her eyes opened and then closed again. I swear I stepped outside my body and watched my soul start to crumble into thin air. God, I'll do anything to save her. Take me instead. Take the evil. Purge the evil. Leave the angels where they belong. I continued pulling vial after vial of blood, my knees shaking as weakness took hold. Finally, Nixon put his hand on my arm and whispered for me to stop. Damn, I was going to bleed myself dry for that woman if I had to. Minutes ticked by. They may as well have been hours. The DeLangs finally burst through the door. Stephen took one look at Mo and jumped into action, his hands moving across her wound as if he already had the injury memorized. He sighed in relief at the wound. It's not her femoral artery, but a large vein was hit. She'll be fine. He pressed his hands tighter against her leg. Sore, but fine. If we don't stop the bleeding, she'll die, but I imagine you guys already knew that. Swearing, he removed one hand and reached for the forceps. I need someone with steady hands. I moved to his side. Tell me what to do. Okay, he said, pressing my hands against her actual wound. I need to remove the bullet, but it's going to keep bleeding, so I need you to keep your hands pressed against this every time I remove my hands. The minute I pull the bullet, you press against the wound as hard as you can manage, without breaking her leg. Think you can do that? Yeah, I croaked. I can do that. His hands moved so fast it was almost a blur. Within 10 minutes, she was breathing normal again. The bleeding had all but stopped, but my hands? They were frozen in that spot. Terrified that if I moved even an inch, if I even breathed wrong, it would end her life. Sergio, Stephen coughed. Need those hands of yours. Sew her up. Sergio moved forward, hands trembling as he took the needle and thread and began sewing everything closed. You can remove your hands now, Tex. Stephen's voice was rough, exhausted. Nodding, I pulled my hands free. They were coated in her blood. It may as well have been mine. If she died, I would die too. There was nothing else to it. No other option. Thank you, I said hoarsely. Steven sighed and looked around the room. You guys are in some deep shit, you know that, right? Where is she? Luca burst into the room, followed by six men, and of course, Frank Alfaro, Trace's grandpa, and boss to the Alfaro family. Ah, a reunion, I grimaced. Nice. Mo? Luca moved to the table. Who is responsible for this? Everyone fell silent. Blood was everywhere. Finally, Trace answered. Tex's uncle. Alfonso Campisi? Luca said in a horrified voice, his face getting redder by the second. So much for that vacation. Frank pulled out his cell phone. Wait! Nixon held out his hand. What are you doing? I think it's time. Frank's hands had a slight tremble to them as he put the phone to his ear. Call to order. The room fell silent again while Frank closed his eyes and whispered. Not just our family. We need all of them. Now. All of them? Nixon and I shouted. Luca held up his hand. 24 hours, Frank sighed. We meet here. It is time for the arms to come together. Please tell me he's not doing what I think he's freaking doing. Nixon pushed against Luca's chest, but Luca didn't move. What? Luca spat. Get a hold of yourself, son. We rise together, we fall together. You die, we eventually die. It is the only choice. What is? I asked, apparently the only one brave enough to do so. He's calling a commission, Nixon said in a hollow voice. The first since 85. The first since the old bosses returned to Sicily. Meaning, I swallowed. The FBI is going to have a freaking field day. I'd pay to be at the airport, Chase nodded. Freaking pay for someone to record that shit. Campisi better hope Mo lives, Luca said quietly. Otherwise, there will be no need for a meeting at all. What makes you say that? Trace asked while Frank hung up the phone. Tex, Luca nodded in my direction. She dies? You have my permission from one family to another, one blood to the next. He approached me slowly, then kissed each of my cheeks. My blessing. You may cleanse the line, son, and I'll help you do it. Damn it! Nixon slammed his hand against the countertop. Regardless, I looked around the room, we're going to war. Yes? Frank took a step towards me and put his hand on my shoulder. I believe we are.
Chapter 17. They say that each time you go under the knife, you never come back the same as before you went under. Mo. The last thing I remembered was pain. Severe pain. And so much blood that I ended up passing out after Sergio whispered in my ear that Tex needed me. At least I think he whispered that. I may have dreamed it up, all things considered. I still felt pain, but it was more of a heaviness in my chest, like I was paralyzed, unable to move. Panicking, I tried to wiggle free, but couldn't budge. Open your eyes. I tried. Then I moaned and tried a second time. Mo, shh. Tex. I'd recognize that voice anywhere. It was the same voice that told me to fight. The one that called me baby. God, I'd miss that voice. It seemed now when he talked to me, every word was clipped, filled with rage at what I did, at the situation, at me. I fought tears. Fought and failed as they slid down my cheeks. Open your eyes, baby. I sniffled and then, slowly, my eyes opened. They took a while to adjust to the darkness of the room. My room. The one I had been sharing with Tex. I blinked a few times, embarrassed that I'd been silently crying. Tex sighed, his rough fingers slowly wiping the tears from my cheeks. His mouth descended, first kissing my forehead and then hovering over my lips, asking for permission, waiting to see if I'd turn away or lean forward. It took every ounce of strength I possessed to move, but I was able to do it. I mean, to the naked eye, it probably looked like I blinked. But Tex saw, and that was all that mattered. His mouth touched mine, softly, his tongue caressing my lips, then slowly entering. It was the most tender kiss I could ever remember him giving me. Like, he was afraid that I would break. "Are you in pain?" he murmured against my lips. I shook my head, then found my voice and said hoarsely, "No." "Do you remember what happened?" My eyebrows drew together. Blood. I'd been shot. But who was it? What bastard would dare? My entire body trembled. "It's okay. Shh." Tex wrapped his body around mine, pulling me into the cocoon of his warmth.
"He's already dead."
"You killed him?"
"Not yet."
Tex's teeth ground together. "But I imagine I'll have a few volunteers when the time comes. We'll tag team it." "Sounds fun."
"Like hunting a deer."
Tex chuckled. "We'll spray paint a giant ass target on his back and then fight for first shot." "Me." Shivers rocked me. "I get first shot."
"Oh, baby, I was always going to give you first shot. But I figured you'd want to wound him before we set him loose in the field."
"Knives to both thighs? Or maybe just snapping his Achilles in half so that he can't run?" "Yeah, that sounds good." Tex froze behind me. "What?" I shivered again, cuddling closer to him, my back pressed so tightly against his chest I could feel his heartbeat.
"Nothing," he choked out. "I just hate that I'm that freaking turned on by talks of violence."
"It's the knives." I swallowed. "Guys like sharp things."
"Guys like big things."
Tex ran his hand down my left arm, his fingertips dancing against my skin.
"Shiny things, too. Ones with dark hair and bright eyes. Things that have dirty little mouths and kick-ass habits toward gory acts of violence."
"Hey, that's me," I teased.
"How are you really feeling?"
I sighed and closed my eyes. "Tired? Upset? Irritated?"
"I can get more drugs."
"No." I cleared my throat. "They make my body feel heavy."
"I may have fallen asleep on your chest. My head's kind of heavy, on account that it's filled with so much knowledge."
I laughed. It felt so good that the giggling almost turned into full-on sobbing. Tex hadn't joked with me in a year. A freaking year. And he was being his old self. Funny. The gentle giant with killer instincts. "Knowledge, huh?" I prodded, leaning into his warm body. "You sure about that?"
"Oh, I'm positive."
Tex nodded.
"What else would be in there to make it so heavy?"
"You want me to answer that or just leave it?" Tex smirked and leaned in.
"Is that your way of asking if I want you to taunt and tease me? Or are you just looking for an excuse to run your fingers through my hair?"
"Guilty?" I said, a bit breathless.
He laughed again. My gut clenched. I hated that it wouldn't last long. I knew the clock was ticking. I wasn't sure if his good mood would leave as soon as I was healthy, or if I was just being gifted with his smiles now because he was so terrified I was going to die. With a grunt, I managed to turn on my side. I needed to look at his face, gain courage by reminding myself why I loved him. "Tex," I whispered, unable to tangle my legs with him because one was so huge it was probably its own planet. I managed to lay my head against his chest for a brief second before concentrating on his full lips.
"What?"
His voice was ragged. His breathing came out in spurts, like he was running a race and losing every second he didn't suck in enough air. "Kiss me again,
Mo."
His dark blue eyes heated to black within seconds. "This can't change anything. I'm not, so it changes nothing." I shrugged. Even though my heart screamed, "This changes everything. I won't stop." He leveled me with his glare. Then his lips formed a sensual smile.
"I don't think I have it in me."
"Thank God the bullet only hit a vein, making you bleed like crazy. But any closer to your artery, and you could have died. Would have died."
"So?"
I tugged his lower lip with my teeth.
"Make it all better."
"Damn it, Mo!" Tex reached for my arms, bracing his body above mine. "You're injured!"
"Fine."
I sighed. "Right. Like I ever gave up that easily."
"Do me a favor, then."
"Anything," he vowed, his hands cupping my face with such tenderness I almost burst into tears.
"Did they bring my shopping bags in?"
"Yeah. Why?" His eyes narrowed.
"Get them for me?"
I asked innocently. With a shrug, he got off the bed and walked over to the first bag. I lifted up on my elbows.
"Not that one."
He lifted the pink Victoria's Secret bag into the air.
"That one."
I suddenly felt nervous. "I bought some new PJs.
Grab them?"
Tex brought the bag over to the bed and started rummaging through the tissue. His hands froze. He looked away, then back down at the bag, then away. With a curse, he wiped his face with his hands and just continued to stare.
"Well," I urged.
"Those," his voice was a mere growl,
"are not pajamas."
"Of course they are," I argued with a triumphant grin. "The sales lady told me so." He took a steadying breath, closing his eyes as he pressed his hands on either side of the bed, next to my feet.
"So?"
I licked my lips.
"Help me put one on?"
"Hell no." He tossed the bag onto the floor. "Why would I put something on you that I'm just going to rip off within 2 seconds?
And you know how I hate it when you ruin new clothes."
He threw his head back and laughed.
"God, I miss that sound."
"Right. I would hate to ruin anything for the mafia princess. What type of husband would I be if I ruined all your clothes?"
"What type of husband would you be if you didn't give your wife what she needed?"
"Oh, so now you need me for my body?" Tex grumbled, still in good humor.
"No."
I gripped his t-shirt and pulled him closer.
"I just want you for sex."
"Damn. Can we put this in writing?" he teased, his mouth nipping mine.
"If it makes you feel better."
I gasped as his hands moved underneath my t-shirt,
inching up my sensitive skin. But his hand stopped.
Mo, I'm serious. This can't change anything. I'm still upset.
So, pretend you aren't. My voice shook. Pretend for 5 damn minutes that your hate doesn't match your love. Pretend you don't have 10 mil on your head. Pretend I'm not Nixon's sister.
I can't.
Tex sighed. He was going to walk away. My body went rigid, waiting for the rejection.
I mean, 5 minutes, Mo? What the hell?
Since when have I only lasted 5 minutes? He smirked. I hit him as hard as I could in the shoulder, which wasn't that hard considering how weak I was. His mouth met mine, and soon my shirt was on the floor. He said it changed nothing, but little did he know, it changed everything. Because we were about to have unprotected sex, and I wasn't pregnant. Not with his child, not with anyone else's. Thank God nobody had said anything about the baby. I was lucky they were so worried about me being okay that they hadn't even thought to ask about a miscarriage. So yeah, I was changing everything, playing by my own rules. I'd made this deal with the devil to begin with, and I was going to follow it through. To save his life like he saved mine? Yeah. I'd follow through.
Chapter 18. Chasing the devil isn't hell. It's realizing that you're chasing yourself that's hell. Tex. What the hell was I thinking? Smooth skin taunted me, begged me to touch, to caress, to damn near lick from head to toe and refused to stop until Mo was so boneless that she could barely lift her head. Sex with Mo had always been playful, fun, hot as hell, but right now, it was scorching. My heart, you know the part that I still had, scolded me, told me to stop while I was ahead. But my head, my body, begged and damn near pleaded for me to continue touching her. She was mine, after all. Not Sergio's, not Nixon's, not anyone's but mine. She'd always been mine, damn it, and I was going to make sure she never forgot that. It wasn't even about love. What I was doing was pure need. Forget love. Did it even fit in our relationship? After the hurt we'd given each other. I had no idea. But what did I know? No woman ever responded to my touch like Monroe Abandonado. In a smooth motion, I lie across her body, careful to keep my weight on my elbows so I could hover. Your shirt is still on, Mo said hoarsely. Right, I looked down. Odd, yours came off surprisingly fast for being almost dead a few hours ago. Mo rolled her eyes. Right, some barbarian just ripped it from my cold body. Not cold, I snapped, my right hand moving down her shoulder, stopping at her strap and then sliding it down her arm. Hot. Very, very hot. Are you complimenting my skin? She arched as I drew slow circles down her stomach and then tugged her other strap down. Yes, Mo, that's what I'm doing. I'm complimenting your skin temperature because I'm a player like that, and that's my game. Game? She panted as my fingers slid behind her back and unclasped her bra. Needs work. Game, I mock repeated. Hasn't even started. With a tug, I threw her bra onto the floor and stared my fill. In all my years of living, I would never get used to seeing her naked body in all its glory. Damn, she was topless and it was like staring at the sun. Utter perfection that I knew she was allowing me to mar with my hands. Taint with my bloodlines. I narrowed my gaze on her stomach. You're still so skinny, My thumb caressed her belly button. I hoped the baby inside her, even though it wasn't mine, was okay. I'd asked Steven, and he said when she was feeling better we could run tests. But for the most part, if she miscarried, there would be more blood. Her injury had been bloody, and if we hadn't stopped the bleeding, it could have been more serious. But as it was, she would just be really sore for a while. "Tex," Mo hissed out of breath. "Are we doing this, or are we talking?" "Oh," I reared back, allowing the thoughts to dissipate. "I'm sorry, are you tired of talking? Need a little more caressing?" I tugged her shorts down and cupped her ass. A bit more teasing, nipping, tugging, pulling. I lowered my head to her hip bone, licking around in lazy circles as she arched towards me. "Damn it, Tex. Ah, baby, you know I love it when you scream my name." I chuckled, fanned my breath across her stomach, then replaced it with my tongue. Tasting Monroe Abandonado was my number one favorite thing to do in the entire world. Her taste was unique, totally her, and I coveted it more than a sane person should. Then again, I never claimed to be anything but insane, so there you have it. Mo's fingers moved to my shirt. She tried to tug, but she was too weak from blood loss, which again reminded me that I probably shouldn't be trying to seduce her. But my body had other plans. And damn if I didn't want to mark her, brand her, fill her to the hilt and just bask in the fullness of what it was like to be inside her. "Tex." Mo dropped her hands from my shirt with a sigh of frustration. "I'm going to need a little help here." "Say please." I straddled her and slowly lifted my shirt up to my head, but didn't pull it completely off yet. "I'm waiting." "You're an ass, you know that, right?" She wiggled beneath me. "Keep doing that. I've got all the time in the world. Really, you're not slowly killing me or anything by rubbing against me." "Take off your shirt," she said through clenched teeth. "Please." "Aw, there it is. Who taught you manners, Nixon?" I chuckled and could almost imagine that there wasn't a chasm of anger and hurt between us. I imagined a world where I was the father of our child in earnest, where I was the hero rather than the monster. When my shirt fell to the floor, Mo's breath hitched. Her dainty hands danced across my rigid stomach, tightening my muscles to painful levels wherever she touched, her fingers slowly, agonizingly moving up and down. "This is new," she whispered, her hands hovering over one of my many scars. "Yeah," I licked my lips. "It's a flesh wound." She rolled her eyes. "Right, I know all about those." "Sorry to break it to you, but yours is more than a flesh wound there, little tyke. I thought you were dying. And if you want this to continue, you'll stop reminding me why I shouldn't be getting you naked." "Nixon may shoot you." "Great." I leaned down and kissed her hot mouth. "Then he can get my other shoulder. He was feeling left out anyway." Monroe laughed against my lips. I couldn't help but follow suit. Her hands reached for the zipper of my jeans, and all the laughing went straight out the window. It would take an act of God for the girl to be able to actually strip me of all my clothing. So I stood, yanked off my jeans, and waited for her to blush. She always blushed. It's part of the reason I loved her so much. She pretended to be a badass, but that was to protect herself. She pretended that sex wasn't a big deal, but I knew it was. To Mo, it always was. Maybe that's why it stung so much that she would give her body to anyone but me. I'd taken the girl's virginity. I'd been the forever guy. Until I wasn't anything anymore. "Tex." Mo held up her hand. I grasped it and lay down next to her. "We shouldn't do this, Mo." My body was screaming, "Speak for yourself." "I know." Mo nodded, her lips trembling as a tear fell down her cheek. "But you've always kissed me when I'm down. And Tex, I'm really..." Her chest heaved with emotion. "Really down right now." "All right," I sighed. "An hour. For an hour, only we exist. But when that hour's up, to protect you, to protect me, Mo, I'm going to go back to focusing on anger, on hate. Because if I don't, I'm pretty sure one or both of our hearts will shatter. She nodded. And that's all it took. I was stupid enough to promise her an hour, and she was stupid enough to take it. With tenderness I'd never been able to fully extend towards Mo in the bedroom, I slowly kissed her mouth, savoring her flavor, sucking her lips. If I got an hour, it was going to be a damn good hour. Her arms wrapped around my neck, pulling me tighter against her. We kissed until my lips hurt, until hers were swollen. And when my mouth was still buzzing with pleasure, I kissed her harder. I kissed away the pain, the memories, the past, and in return gave her everything I was capable of giving. When our bodies joined, it was with such a jolt that I lost my breath. It had been too damn long. I moved within her, slowly at first, giving her body time to adjust to me, shocked that it needed to in the first place, and kissed her mouth. "So good," Mo whispered against my lips. "Harder." I panted, injured. "So?" She hooked her good leg around me. "You were saying?" "Damn it," she grinned. "Think you're funny." I pumped harder, faster, digging my hands underneath her ass to angle her towards me so that I was hitting one of mine and her favorite places. Her nails dug into my back. "Tex!" She found her release. I soon followed, but I kept my eyes open, watching her, loving that look of pure bliss on her face. I was still inside her when the knock came at the door. Mo's eyes widened in horror. "Yeah," I answered lazily.
"Hey, it's Nixon."
"Well, shit.
Is Mo feeling okay? I heard yelling."
I bit my lip to keep from laughing while Mo turned 20 shades of scarlet beneath me. "Yeah, she was, dreaming." She rolled her eyes.
"Oh, okay. Can I come in and..."
"No," I yelled. I'll come out. I need to talk to you about something, and she's super exhausted. Especially after the hour we'd shared."
"Fine."
Nixon's footsteps echoed down the hall. With a curse, I slumped against Mo, then very slowly removed myself from her body and put on my clothes again. Wordless, I helped her put on her bra, her shirt, her shorts. Every article of clothing looked in place. I even pulled her hair back into a ponytail and tied it. "Tex." Mo's eyes didn't meet mine.
"Yeah?"
"What if an hour wasn't enough? How was it possible for someone's heart to be so elated and so broken at the same time?" "Then you probably should have thought of that before you jumped into someone else's bed. Today I gave you an hour. A year ago I would have given you an eternity." With that, I stomped out of the room, cursing myself as I heard her soft sobs escape her mouth. It was better this way. It had to be.
Chapter 19. Everyone has words they hate. The word I hate? Choice. It seemed my whole life was framed around such an innocent word. Innocent. How ironic. Sergio. Mo and Tex had been in the back bedroom for hours. My hands were still stained from all the blood. I'd stopped trying to wash it off hours ago. It made a good reminder, anyway. Blood on the hands. Especially when my cell phone rang.
"Is it true?"
I sighed into the receiver and walked out to the backyard of Nixon's house.
"Is what true?"
"The commission." How much to tell? I was caught between needing to protect the family, but also protect my own ass. Protect blood.
"It's happening," I whispered. "Not that it makes any difference to you. That wasn't part of our agreement."
"No," he snapped.
"But part of our agreement was that you'd give us any useful information." "Useful," information, I corrected. The kind that will help keep the bad guys behind bars and the good ones out free. So excuse me for not exactly thinking of calling you.
We'll be watching.
Big Brother always is, I said curtly. Good day. I shoved the phone back into my pocket and groaned. When had things gotten so complicated? Stepping out, choosing to help the family seemed like a good idea. But I hadn't calculated what stepping out would do. There was a very serious reason I was a ghost, and it had nothing to do with not wanting to be part of something big, but everything to do with being watched by the feds. I'd basically painted a target on my back the minute I stepped out of my alleged retirement. And now, the ones I owed favors to? They were going to come knocking. With a sigh, I walked back inside just in time to see Mo emerge from the bedroom. She looked ravaged, completely and utterly screwed. I tilted my head. Her face was flushed. Her ponytail was even crooked. Amazing that after everything, Tex still thought he had a fighting chance with the very girl pointing the gun at his back. In the end, he would choose Campisi. In the end, she would choose Abandonado. In the end, there would be bloodshed.
Chapter 20. Sex changes everything and nothing all at once. Mo.
You look rested, Sergio said in a low voice.
I stumbled against the wall, stupid bum leg, and blinked in his direction. His dark hair was pulled back in a ponytail low on his neck, his blue eyes searching mine, as if he could see every damn area Tex had placed his hands.
Scratching my head, I offered a tiny shrug.
I slept a bit.
Sure you did.
Sergio grinned. It wasn't a happy grin. It was absolutely predatory and pissed.
Did you need help with anything?
Crap. What I wanted was to spy on Nixon and Tex, but that wasn't happening with Sergio breathing down my neck.
Water would be nice.
Sergio looked me up and down for a few more minutes, his eyes hooding as his gaze settled on my lips.
Fine, he snapped. I'll help you get to the kitchen.
Oh, that's okay. Stop arguing, Mo.
I won't bite you. Not with his scent all over your skin. Not very sporting of me.
I closed my eyes as heat spread across my body. Sergio wrapped a muscled arm around me and then lifted me off the floor. I had no choice but to lean against him. He always smelled the same, like clean, minty spice. It used to comfort me, but now it made me sick. It reminded me of what I'd done with him. I blamed him when really I should have blamed myself. It was my fault, not his. When we reached the kitchen, he placed me on the counter like a little kid and stalked over to the cupboard.
You want ice?
Please, I whispered, gripping the countertop with my hands like it was my only lifeline. Sergio gripped the cup in his hands and went over to the freezer. The ice plunked into the glass, making the room feel that much more tense.
He's going to destroy us all.
Sergio's back was to me as he filled the glass with water. His voice was so matter-of-fact and cold, I wanted to shiver.
I hope you know that. He's a Campisi. One doesn't just stop being a Campisi.
Deflated, I tried to ignore the truth of Sergio's words.
You're wrong.
Am I? He turned around and his eyebrows shot up in surprise.
And what makes you the expert?
I just...
I chewed on my thumbnail. I know his heart. He's good. And what we're doing? What we're doing. Sergio threw his head back and laughed. Had nothing to do with you seducing him, then screwing with his head, Mo. Absolutely nothing. So what the hell are you doing? Because I'm pretty sure the others would like to know as well. I'm making it real. I swallowed the tightness in my throat and stretched my hand out for the water. Sergio sighed and placed the cold glass against my fingertips, not removing his hand but keeping mine trapped against his. Mo, regardless of how real you make it, you can't save him. But the plan was marriage. He shrugged simply. And you still got shot. But, Mo? Sergio released the glass and placed his hands on either side of my hips, pressing his body against mine so forcefully I gasped. He will die. No. I shook my head forcefully. I won't let it happen. They said if we did it this way, it would protect him. You do realize. He lifted his head and brushed his knuckles against my cheek. I will save you before I save him. Don't. My lips trembled. I'm not worth it. Let me decide your worth, Monroe. He took a protective stance in front of me. And in the end, once this is over, I want you to remember I was the one that was willing to forgive and forget. Whereas the one you claim to love, the one you want to save, is going to be dead in a month for choosing blood.